The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to End Time Headlines. Welcome to the broadcast today. It is Friday, the 1st of April. It is shortly after 4 p.m. Eastern time. We welcome you to the broadcast today. As always, we want to encourage you, if this is your first time joining us on Facebook or on Rumble or YouTube or whatever platform that you are able to comment on, please let us know where you guys are joining us from and preference that you are new to the broadcast so that we can acknowledge that. We always appreciate to hear from our subscribers and our followers and those who would hop on and be viewing us today. Before we get started today, as always, we want to encourage you to download our free app, guys. It is available on Apple, and is it available on Android? Again, it is free. That way you can keep up with all of our headlines from a prophetic perspective, as well as our free podcast that you can both either watch or listen right there at the palm of your hand. And it is very convenient to have that. So we want you to, either at the end, if you're watching this live, you can download that at the end of the broadcast, or again, whenever you get a chance to do that. So today, I want to be dealing with an interesting subject on, I'm going to talk about six parallels of what both Daniel and John the Revelator saw in the book of Revelation. Again, today, I'm going to be dealing with six parallels of what both Daniel the prophet and John the Revelator saw during the period, what we would call the tribulation. So this is a study on eschatology or Bible prophecy. Yesterday we did a prophetic segment, a viewpoint, if you would, from headlines that we did. And today we're going to kind of change things up and we're going to kind of do a teaching today. So let's get after this thing. I want to show you here a verse of scripture. This is Daniel chapter 12, verse 4. This is Daniel chapter 12, verse 4. It's going to be right up on your screen. If you're watching this, if you're listening by Apple or Spotify, we'll give you the verse. It's Daniel chapter 12, verse 4. And I'm going to break this down. But you, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. So I want to, right off the bat, we've got to break this down because I believe this is very significant here. First of all, the book of Daniel was written somewhere around 164 BC. This is what it is believed to, again, it was written somewhere around 164 BC, probably closer to the accuracy of that is pretty close from what I've studied on that. The background of this was known, what is known as the Antiochian persecution of the Jews. Again, Daniel writes this coming from the Babylonian exile, or he's in this period of time where, when you read this, he's with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and this is when this is being written. Most academic scholars who studied this book believe that it actually composed of 150, about 150 years before the time of Jesus. What makes this book different from all other books is it was built around a series of five revelations or visions that Daniel had, and he laid out a step-by-step synopsis of what would take place in the final days. In fact, he goes into detail about it. We'll get more into that in just a minute. And when you get towards the end of the book of chapter 11 of the book of Daniel, this is so detailed and complex that it is actually what is deemed as the longest prophecy in the Bible. It literally details troop movements in the Middle East, the invasion of Jerusalem, and all the things that are to take place in the time of the end. But when we go to Daniel 12:4, Daniel is told to shut up or to seal this book. Now, I want to emphasize something, that when we talk about a book, it was really a scroll. When you think of the old, when you go back and you, like, for example, when they found the Dead Sea Scrolls, these are scrolls written up. They're not as books as we would think about that we order on Amazon in paperback or in hardback or whatnot. In fact, there wasn't chapters and verses in the original manuscripts. It's just scrolls that was later put into chapters and verses. So it makes it easier to comprehend this and to read it. So Daniel was to shut up the words of this prophecy, or these prophetic words that he gave, and to seal this book until the time of the end. Then what's interesting here in Daniel 12:4, it says, it gives you two clues of the time of the end. One, many shall run to and fro. Now, I've studied this out, and most scholars that I've read, most commentaries, most theologians will agree that this term, many shall run to and fro, is describing in detail transportation. In other words, when we get to the time of the end, and the closer to we get to the fulfillment of all things and the coming of the Lord, the coming of the Mashiach, the Messiah, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, transportation will explode. Transportation will become more extended. Now, you got to remember, when Daniel wrote this, there was no such thing as aircrafts. There was no such thing as automobiles. There was no such thing as commuter trains. Now, if you go to the book of Matthew chapter 24, Jesus said, he said, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached into all the world as a witness, and then the end shall come. Now, think about this. In Jesus' day, in his physical body, it was physically impossible for him to reach the entire world in his own body. Thus, we all know he was crucified, he went to the Father, and he poured out his spirit, Acts chapter 2, and now we are many members of one body. So now he has many members of one body to reach the world, but even then transportation was limited. But now think about this, in 2022, we have, look at the expanse of transportation that we have now readily available for us to get from point A to point B, from one location to another location. We are not limited to horseback and on foot anymore. Now, again, we have modern aircraft, we have trains, we have automobiles that can get us from point A to point B. So again, many shall run to and fro, or many shall travel from one point to another point, or from one location to another location. And then it says, and knowledge shall increase. So one of the signs of the coming of the Lord, or the end of the age, is there will be an explosion or an increase of knowledge. And here's something interesting to take note of. It's interesting to me anyway, that the real explosion of knowledge came on the scene, and we can really go back and look at it around 1947, 1948. Now, anybody who keeps up with Bible prophecy will know that timeline, and it's extremely important, because on May 14th, May 15th, 1947, 1948, this is when Israel was reestablished as a nation. It was reborn as a nation, thus fulfilling the words of Isaiah, shall a nation be born in one day? And they were, again. And consequently enough, when that took place is when we see there was this explosion of knowledge came on the scene. And that was in 1947, 1948. And now here we are in 2022. And you've got crazy headlines out here talking about that by 2030 something, or 2044, 2040, or whatever and whatnot, we are going to no longer live in the natural, but we're going to live in the virtual reality of metaverse. I'm not. I don't plan on doing that. But there's something like 5 to 8 billion, or somewhere around 5 billion people that is estimated that is going to take this transition. So what am I talking about? I'm talking about this explosion of knowledge. I'm talking about knowledge is now readily available for us to see the fulfillment of many things that we read about in the tribulation, in the book of Revelation, such as the mark of the beast system, the buying, selling, and trading system that will not be possible lest it be placed in or on the forehand or the right or the forehead of an individual. All this is in place. The capability to see the two witnesses raised from the dead after they're killed and lay in the streets for 3.5 days, Revelation 11, the Bible says the whole world will be watching and looking upon them being raised up from the dead. Again, the technology was not even available in John's time or Daniel's time, but Daniel said knowledge shall increase in the time of the end. Now, I'm going to go to the book of Revelation, chapter 10, verses 1 and 11. I want to show you some interesting stuff. I want to, before we get on the six parallels, because we're going to show you that, I want to bring an hypothesis to you. I cannot definitively prove this, but I want to show you something that I think is really cool and it's very interesting. Remember, Daniel was told to shut up and seal the book until the time of the end, correct? Yes. Then we get to the book of Revelation that was written by John the Revelator on the island of Patmos in somewhere between 90 and 95 AD. When we get to Revelation 10, this is very interesting to me. When I get to verse 8, I'll put this up on the screen, but I want to read verses 1 through 7, and then I'll put 8 through 11 up here for you to be able to see this. Listen, here it goes, Revelation 10, 1 through 11. This is John speaking. I saw still another mighty angel coming down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was on his head. His face was like the sun and his feet like pillars of fire. Now listen to this, quote, he had a little book open in his hand and he set his right foot on the sea and his left foot on the land and cried with a loud voice as when a lion roars. And when he cried out, seven thunders uttered their voices. And now when the seven thunders uttered their voices, I was about to write, but I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, seal up the things which the seven thunders uttered and do not write them. So here, consequently, here's John who heard seven thunders and he understood the revelation of what was being said, and he was about to write them, and the Lord spoke to him and said, do not write these things, but seal them up. Remember, Daniel was told to seal up the prophecies that he was, or these five visions that he was revealed, were given, and his writings. And now here we have John that's told to seal up the seven thunders that he heard and was about to write them down and was told to seal them up. Then we go to verse 5. The angel whom I saw standing on the sea and on the land raised his hand to heaven and swore by him who lives forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that are in it, the earth, the things that are in it, the sea, the things that are in it, and that there should be delay any longer. But in the days of the surrounding of the seven angel, or I'm sorry, but in the days of the sounding of the seventh angel, when he is about to sound, the mystery of God would be finished, as he declared to his servants, the prophets. Now I want to go, I'm going to pull this up on the screen. Look at this. This is Revelation 8. Revelation 10, verse 8. Let me say that again for you guys on Spotify and Apple. I want to clarify that. Revelation 10, verses 8 through 11. Listen to this quote. Then the voice which I heard from heaven spoke to me again and said, go and take the little book, which is open, in the hand of the angel who stands on the sea and on the earth. So I went to the angel and said to him, give me the little book. Who is saying this? John. And he said to me, who's that? The angel said to John, take and eat it. What? The book, the scroll, right? And it was open at this time. And it will make your stomach bitter, but it will be as sweet as honey in your mouth. And John said, I took the little book out of the angel's hand and I ate it. And it was as sweet as honey in my mouth. But when I had eaten it, my stomach became bitter. Verse 11. And he said unto me, now look what happens after he eats this scroll or this book. You must prophesy again about many peoples, nations, tongues, and kings. Now, I propose to you that could it be possible that the little book, the scroll that John was given to eat and to consume, and after he consumed it, he opened his mouth and what he digested became a prophecy or a series of prophecy, and he opened his mouth and began to prophesy. Could it be possible that the book in which John consumed was the book of Daniel? Now, I can't prove this 100% dogmatically, but here's what's interesting to me. Notice that whatever the contents was in this book, when he ate it, it was bitter to his stomach, but it was sweet as honey. Oh, come on, somebody. Listen, the tribulation period is going to be bitter to one group of people, but it's going to be sweet for another. It's going to be doom and gloom for one group of individuals on one side of the tracks, but it's going to be redemptive hope for another side of the track. One group, come on, is going to go through something that is very bitter and very destructive and very despairing. And by, in fact, the Bible calls it a trouble that shall never have been and never shall be again. But on the other side, I believe there's going to be a group of individuals that they will be secured. They will be in safety. They will be dwelling in a place where they will not be succumbed to the wrath of God. So you have what is the contents of whatever's in this book is both bitter and it is both sweet. Again, I can't prove that, but to me, that is extremely interesting nevertheless. Now, let's get to the sixth parallel, shall we? All right, so first of all, look at this. We're going to pull all this up on the screen. Both Daniel and John saw a seven-year tribulation. Let me say that again. Both Daniel and John both saw a seven-year tribulation. Daniel, in his writings, called this time frame in Hebrew, a one prophetic week. John saw this period, and he divided it up into two halves of 42-month periods. Let me break it down. It's on your screen right there so everybody can take notes. Daniel 9:27. And then he shall confirm a covenant, that he is the Antichrist, shall confirm a covenant with many, that's many nations, for 1 week. In Hebrew, that is 7 years. So I'm going to read this and bring no harm to the scripture. And then the Antichrist shall confirm a covenant with many nations for 7 years. But in the middle of the 7 years, he shall bring an end to sacrifice and offering, and on the wing of abominations shall be one who makes desolate. This is talking about the image of the beast that shall be erected shall be put in place by the false prophet, and he will work with the Antichrist. And you can read that in Matthew 24 as well, even until the consummation, which is determined, is poured out on the desolate. So if you ever you know, when somebody talks about, where is it? It talks about the Antichrist signing a 7-year covenant or peace treaty. There it is, Daniel 9:27. But then we go into the period of 90, 95 AD, where John wrote the book of Revelation. And he describes this same time frame, but he divides it up into 42 months. Look at this. But this is Revelation 11, 2. But leave out the court, which is outside the temple, and do not measure it, for it has been given to the Gentiles, and they will tread the holy city underfoot for 42 months or 3.5 years. By the way, this is not talking about a temple in heaven, because Gentiles will not have access to trample on it for 42 months. This is a third temple that will be constructed in Jerusalem that will seat the Antichrist, who will set up his headquarters and declare himself as God for 3.5 years. Revelation 13, 5, and he was given a mouth. This is speaking of the Antichrist, to speak great things and blasphemies, and he was given authority to continue for 42 months. Somebody say 42 months. Here's what's interesting. When Jesus began his earthly ministry, he was 30 years of age, which was the age that a priest would enter into the priesthood. Jesus on the earth ministered in the flesh for 3.5 years or 42 months. And then he was crucified and went into the Father. Satan, or Lucifer, as Isaiah and Ezekiel reference him as, has always wanted worship. Right? He's always wanted a seat of authority. He always wanted to make himself as God. And what's interesting is, during the tribulation period, God will grant Lucifer his opportunity, just like the Son of God got 42 months to minister on earth. Satan will work through a man called the Antichrist, and he as well will minister for 42 months or 3.5 years. Isn't that interesting? That to me is very fascinating. So God is going to give him his opportunity. He's going to set up his headquarters. He's going to set up his kingdom. He's going to declare himself as God. But God will only put up with that mess for so long. And then the King of Kings, come on somebody, and the Lord of Lords is going to come back and put an end to that. The Bible says he will destroy him in Thessalonians with the brightness of his coming. All right, so then we go down to number 2. Look at this. Both Daniel and John both saw the rise of the Antichrist in the tribulation period, and they both described him as a beast that would rise. Here's the scriptures for that. Daniel 7:7. Daniel said, after this, I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, exceedingly strong. It had huge iron teeth. It was devouring, breaking in pieces, and trampling the residue with its feet. It was different from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. I'll talk more about the 10 horns in just a minute. Then you go to the book of Revelation, chapter 13, verse 1. John says, I stood on the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast. This is the Antichrist rising up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns. And on his horns were 10 crowns, and on his heads a blasphemous name. So again, we see that both Daniel and John saw the rise of this final leader on the earth called the Antichrist. And they described him as a beast that would rise up in the time of the end. Let me give you number 3. This is number 3. Both men, look at this, both Daniel and John saw a time frame on the earth that would be great trouble. Daniel described this as a time such as never was nor ever shall be. This is Daniel 12, verse 1. At that time, Michael shall stand up, the great prince, that's Michael the archangel, who stands watch over the sons of your people. That's the nation of Israel. By the way, that's where Michael is right now. He's watching over Israel. That's why I'm not really concerned about Israel, what goes on Israel, because my goodness, Israel's got a covenant, Israel's got a promise, and Israel's got a guardian angel by the name of Michael that's watching over them. And there shall be a time of trouble, look at this, such as never was since there was a nation. He's directly speaking of Israel here. Even to that time, and at that time, your people shall be delivered. Everyone who is found written in the book. That's Daniel 12, 1. And then John comes along in 95 AD, and he says, I saw this time, or he describes this time as a time of wrath and trouble. Now, this is Revelation 12, 7 through 12. John said he saw a war break out in heaven, and Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, that's Satan, and the dragon and his angels fought, but they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come, for the accuser of our brethren who accused him before our God day and night has been cast down. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives unto death. Verse 12, therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe unto the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you having great wrath, because he knows that his time is short. Now, what's interesting is Jesus said, lest those days be shortened, no flesh would survive. So what am I talking about? I'm talking about Daniel and John both peered into, come on, all the way into the future and saw a time during the tribulation that there would be such devastation, such death and despair and bloodshed and famine and pestilences and war and earthquakes happening and volcanoes erupting and asteroids falling and all these things happening, that they describe this time as a time such has never been seen in the earth. And John said that Satan will come down, and he will bring great wrath because he will know that his time is up. All right, now I'm going to move on. Let's go to our next one. Come on, I hope somebody's getting something out of this today. Look at this. Both Daniel and John saw Michael the archangel in the time of the end, and he was directly involved. Daniel saw him in Daniel 12, 1, standing up at the time of trouble. Again, I just read this to you just a few minutes ago, Daniel 12, 1. Michael shall stand up, the one who is the prince that watches over the sons of your people. And this will be during this time of the tribulation. And then John, in Revelation 12, 7, John says that he sees Michael directly involved with warring with Satan and involved with expelling, come on somebody, Satan from completely out of access to heaven. I just talked, again, this is Revelation 12, 7. I talked about this, I believe it was yesterday on our podcast segment. At one time, listen, right now, Satan has access to the throne to accuse the brethren night and day like he did Job. Read it in Job chapter 1. But when we get to this event that John is speaking of in Revelation 12, verse 7, John said, he sees a time when Satan is completely removed from having any access to the throne. He will be tossed to the earth. And then the Bible says he will pour out, Satan will bring wrath like he has never brought before, because his time, he will know at that time, come on, that he is destined for the lake of fire. He knows that he's destined for eternal damnation and separation. There is no redemption for Lucifer and for his following and for all those who take sides with him. The Bible says that hell was created for the devil and his angels, but unfortunately, everyone who rejects the gospel and sides with Satan will find their place in eternal torment in the lake of fire. That's the Bible. That is the Bible. Now, let me go down and give you, I believe this might be the last one here. No, we got this one and one more. Both Daniel and John saw 10 kings that would rise in the last days. Daniel called these 10 horns. He also called them 10 toes. Remember, when you go to, if you go to the book of Daniel, Nebuchadnezzar had this series of dreams, and then he was disturbed by them. So he brought in Daniel to give him the interpretation. And Daniel says that he describes all these nations that would come, the head of gold and the chest and arms of silver, and then the waist of brass, and then you got the legs of iron, and then you get down to the 2 feet and the 10 toes. Consequently, all of these empires have fallen, all six. We are now where we are prophetically on the clock is the seventh empire has to rise up. And John said it will last a short space or 42 months, the seventh empire, which will entail, listen to me, 10 nations, 10 horns, or 10 kings. Now, I'm going to read this, and then I'm going to give you a little bit more insight in this. Daniel 7:24, the 10 horns are 10 kings who shall arise from this kingdom. That's the seventh kingdom. And then another shall rise after them. That's the eighth empire, Bible prophecy. That will be the final empire. That is the beast empire ruled and reigned and controlled by the Antichrist. He shall be different from the first ones and shall subdue 3 kings. Stop. Let me pull this away, and I'm going to pull it back up here. According to Daniel's writings, there will be 10 kings. The Antichrist is described as the little horn that rises up among them. When the Antichrist rises up among the 10 kings, the Bible says that he uproots or subdues 3 of the 10. Now, there has been speculation. Who are these 10 kings? Well, I can tell you who 3 of them are right off the bat. Egypt, Libya, and Ethiopia. Because the Bible says the Antichrist will subdue, or he will take control of Egypt, Libya, and Ethiopia. So we can already say that 3 of the 10 are those nations, leaving 7 left. But here's what's interesting. Watch this. Now, let me go back up here and pull this up. I'm going to show you what John saw. John saw 10 horns with 10 crowns that were 10 kings. Revelation 13:1. And then I stood on the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rising up out of the sea. That's the Antichrist, having 7 heads and 10 horns. And on his horns, 10 crowns, and on his heads, a blasphemous name. Listen to me, guys. When we get to, you can't have an Antichrist until you have 10 kings already established in the earth. You want me to prove it to you? Because when you get into, I should have pulled this scripture up, but when you get into the latter parts of the book of Revelation, it says that 10 kings will give their power over to the Antichrist in 1 hour's time. And again, I'll remind you, the Antichrist rises up among the 10 kings, meaning they are already established in the earth. So if you want to know prophetically where we're at right now, we've got to see the establishment of the seventh empire of prophecy, which will entail these 10 kings. Somehow these 10 kings are established in the seventh empire, and it will only last for 42 months because the Antichrist will come up among them and he will overpower, uproot, and take control of Egypt, Libya, and Ethiopia. According to the Bible, he starts out small and becomes great, according to the Bible. Okay, so then we get to the final parallel of what Daniel and John saw. Oh, come on, I saved the best for last. Look at this. Both Daniel and John saw the return of the Lord to set up his kingdom on the earth. Hallelujah. Look at this. Daniel described it as an everlasting king, a kingdom rather, ruled by the Messiah. This is Daniel 7, 13 and 14. I was watching the night visions, and behold, one likened unto the Son of Man coming with clouds of heaven. He came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And then to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all the peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom, the one which shall not be destroyed. That's what Daniel described. Then you go over to the book of Revelation. John said in Revelation 19, 11, now I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on it is, this is not the Antichrist. That is in Revelation 6. That's the white horse and rider with a bow with no arrows. That's the Antichrist. Right here in Revelation 19 is a white horse. And he who sat on it was called faithful and true. And in righteousness, he judges and makes war. You know who this is, guys? Come on, y'all know who this is. This is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He that which was, which is, and is to come. Come, the Son of Man, the Son of David. Come on, the root of Jesse, the one who was prophesied. And by the way, when you go to the book of Daniel, when Daniel is in given the interpretation to Nebuchadnezzar of all these empires, he gets to the end of the interpretation and he says, in the days of those kings, talking about the 10 toes, he said, I saw a great stone come out of heaven and it came and crushed all these empires together. What am I talking about? What am I saying? I'm trying to tell you today, friend, that when you see when you begin to see the formation of the 10 kings, when you start seeing that happening, you will know that we are even near and even at the door, because once those 10 kings get established, it won't be long after that that the Antichrist will rise up among them. He will establish his kingdom. But come on, I got good news for you. The Bible says that in the days of those kings, and those kingdoms, come on, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, according to Jude, I believe it's Jude 1:7 or somewhere around in there, it says, behold, the Lord cometh out of heaven with 10,000s of his saints to, come on, to execute judgment upon all the ungodly, for all the ungodly deeds that shall be. He comes. Paul says in Thessalonians that, come on, that Jesus Christ, the Messiah, shall return and destroy him with the brightness of his coming. Come on, somebody get excited with me right here. I'm trying to tell you that we are living in exciting days. I know this is a little different, but it was a teaching. It was an equipping session. And I pray that through this time of study and equipping, that it will sharpen your sword. Iron sharpens iron. It'll sharpen that prophetic sword. It'll give you a little bit more edge on your sword of eschatology for all the sons of Issachar and the daughters of Issachar that are watching, listening today, that are gleaning from these studies today. I hope this is a great encouragement for you to, as we close out this week of podcasting. Listen, End Time Headlines, endtimeheadlines.org. We're going to pray for some folks here in just a second. endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. Again, that's going to be our landing page. That's where you can find us. And again, do not forget to subscribe and download our free app. Again, it's available on Apple. It's available on Android. It's free. If you're listening by Spotify or Apple, again, just go to one of these, the Play Store of whatever you have, and type in End Time Headlines. You're going to see our official ETH logo. Download our free app, get it into your hands so that you can be notified of every news, every headline, and every podcast that we launch and that we broadcast out there. You'll get it live. You can watch it. You can listen to it. It'll all be there at your benefit and at your for your convenience. And again, as always, guys, we want to give you the opportunity. If this ministry is a continual source of information, blessing, exhortation, equipping, encouraging, or all of the above, we want to give you the opportunity to sow back into this ministry as the Lord puts it upon your heart. And you could do that two different ways. You can give electronically through the app or through the main website, or two, you can give by check or money order, and you can do that. If you're listening by podcast, you can make that out to End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391, and that's Monroe, Georgia 30655. As always, guys, we thank you, and we appreciate you taking the time out to come on to today's segment and listen either by the live segment or by the rebroadcast of this. Listen, if you're watching or you're listening today by podcast, by the rebroadcast or live, and you are not right with God, you're away from God, then listen, all this is not going to make you very excited because you're on the wrong side of track. You need to get on the right side of the tracks. You need to get on the winning side of the kingdom. There's the kingdom of heaven. There's the kingdom of hell. And I've read the end of the book. And God's kingdom prevails. His kingdom wins. Satan's kingdom will be destroyed. It will be submitted to everlasting, eternal judgment and punishment. You do not want to gamble your eternal security. So if you're watching this today, you're listening to this today, you're away from God. You don't know God. I'm going to pray right now with you. I'm not asking if you want to repeat what I pray, you can. But I would like you to pray with me and make your heart right and ready for the Lord, whether he returned tonight or whether he delays or whether I always say it like this, whether you go here, go there, or go in the air, you want to be ready no matter what. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray for all those that are watching, listening today. Lord, if they're away from you or they've never received you today, I pray the precious Holy Spirit would go through that phone, through that microphone, go into their home, go into their car, go into their office, into their living room, into their kitchen, wherever they're at. Whether it is now or whenever they're watching this, right now, Father, you are not restrained by walls or time. But I pray the precious Holy Spirit would convict their hearts, lead them unto repentance, that they would open their mouth, confess their sins before you today, repent of their sins, and put their faith and put their trust in you, Lord Jesus Christ, as their Lord and Savior. And that today, I pray that they make the greatest decision that they could ever make, and they wholeheartedly follow after you. In Jesus' name, I pray. Now, I want to pray a quick prayer for you. If you've made that decision, or you're away from God and you come back to God, I pray that the Lord bless you. May he keep you. May his countenance be upon you. I ask that the blood of Jesus be over you. I ask that he would keep you from harm, danger, and disabling accidents. I bless your family, bless your marriage, bless your finances, bless your household, bless all the work. May the works of your hands prosper in all that you do. May you find a Bible-believing, doctrinally sound, Spirit-filled church. If it is impossible where you're at and you can't find one, we welcome you home. We welcome you to the family here, and we pray that you get plugged in week after week after week, become a part of our family. And we pray that through the help of the Holy Spirit, that we're able to help mature you and that you can grow in your walk with God in your grace and knowledge of Him in Jesus' name. We thank you for that today. We thank you for your commitment. We thank you for your partnership. We thank you for your support and your prayers. And we bless all those who've perhaps you made that decision today. We know, listen, you need to know that all of heaven is rejoicing for you because you are that important to Him and for all of eternity. Come on, do you guys receive this today? So listen, we're going to just, we're going to sign off for today. We will be back probably on, we will not be back on podcasting until Wednesday. Let me say that again. So we're going to be off this week. We will not be back until Wednesday. My family and I are going out of town. We appreciate your prayers of protection as we travel out of town for this weekend. And we will not be back. Again, I will not be back into the recording studio here in my office until Wednesday. So we'll do a segment on Wednesday. But until then, again, you guys have a great weekend and a safe weekend. And we'll see you then. God bless you guys.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.